Your Saturday morning tradition for 31 years. If you were waking up in Arizona 136 years ago this month, in the year 1883 in Mojave County, you'd be one of the first of seven property owners to have to pay property tax for the first time.
Seven property owners in Mojave County first had to pay taxes in 1880s.
1883.
Oh, man.
Tax collected was over $6,000 on just seven properties. Hmm. Lowest was 100 and the highest was at 3450. 1 year later, that amount would triple. We're featuring Kingman, Arizona as our staycation destination this month. Also been recently named the nicest place in Arizona.
I saw that.
I got to go and find out why.
That's a tough thing to win. The nicest community in Arizona, Kingman, Arizona.
And most people that have ever drove through it never even took their foot off the gas, just making their way to Vegas.
I think it's the friendliest place because when you get out of the car, the wind just blows you into the next person. You're just always walking close to someone.
You have to be friendly.
Yeah. You have to hold each other up as you're walking down the street.
If you were there today, you could take your, if you've got a hot rod or an old historic car, you can go to the Chillin' on Beale Street event, which is held on the third Saturdays from 1 to 8 p.m. Around the state, there's also the 5th Annual Pizza Festival, downtown Phoenix. In Tucson, you've got the Family Festival at Reed Park, going on from 10 to 2. In Scottsdale, there's the Mac and Cheese Festival.
Hmm.
I'd take Landry to that. There's also over at Kierlin, Arizona Wine Growers Association Grand Wine Festival. I bought Amanda a bottle of wine from Cochise County for her birthday. That was as good as any we've ever had from Paso Robles or San Luis Obispo or a lot of her friends from our wine growers. So we're getting her converted over to Cochise County.
Very good.
Down in and then over at Fort McDowell, you've got the 37th Orm Dam Festival, and it's a celebration of defeating a dam being built that would have pretty much taken up that whole community from filling up the Verde River. And then a really neat event going down at Queen Creek, the 17th annual American Heritage Festival. It's open to the public, and it's the largest diverse educational living history event to take place in the Southwest. It celebrates American heritage from the colonial era to American Revolution, Mountain Men, Pioneer, Civil War, and westward expansion. And that's going on at Schnepp Farms.
I took Carol to that 1 year. It was a lot of fun. You learned a lot just having fun. And it is a season of festivals.
I say, and all these great events to do, part of the reason Arizona's ranked number one inbound state in the nation, according to recent data from American Enterprise Institute.
The secret's out.
Last year, 60.4% moves in Arizona were inbound, and 39.6% were outbound. So we had a 23.2% net inflow.
And of the 39% outbound, 37% will be boomerang.
Boomeranging right back.
Yeah, they'll get moved out for some opportunity, and then they'll say, this opportunity isn't worth it. I'm going back to Arizona. But we can't talk about Arizona events without talking about our broadcast next weekend. We'll be at Henry Wickenburg's 200th birthday celebration, broadcasting live from Wickenburg. And they've got old-fashioned kid games, Native American dancers, food trucks, antique car show, Western dance, and a vintage flea market and craft fair. So come on out to Wickenburg next weekend. Romy, I still think you got to get in this Henry Wickenburg look-alike contest.
I can't decide if that's a compliment or an insult.
Well, if we just gray out all your hair and beard and put you in a 1800s Western going to church set of clothes, I think you'd be pretty close. I mean, a very square jaw, very similar beard. I don't know what you win, but anyway, we'll be.
You mentioned all those things. I haven't checked, but I can tell you, the downtown arena, the Rancho Rio, I mean, the Wickenburg arena, all of those. I mean, it is roping season, and Wickenburg is the roping capital of America. There'll be plenty of events to go watch riders at.
Well, we're here this morning talking about the bittersweet reality of how great the state is that we live in, how popular it's become around the world. And we brought someone in studio this morning to beat up for being a part of a family that created this great desire to be in Arizona. Jennifer, why don't you talk a little bit about how we met our guest?
Well, of course, any of you who are regular listeners know that Rosie spent a lot of time in the hospital last fall, so we're happy we're past the anniversary of that even. But one thing that I asked of people, everybody wanted to come and do something for us, and there wasn't much to do but sit and watch you. So I asked for cards. We got hundreds and hundreds of cards. And one day, when you were in the second hospital, I got this really cool packet, and in it was about a dozen copies of Arizona Highways from the 1950s. I think the oldest one in the stack was 1949.
It was, July of 49.
And they were just beautiful, and that just resonated with you. It was just something quiet for you to look at. It's what you love. And the man who sent it to me is Brent Reed. And so I reached out to Brent. Well, I actually had to reach out to Robert Steve, editor of Arizona Highways, to try to track him down so I could send him a thank you note. And Brent is actually the son of Alan Reed, who was a journalist in these magazines. So we reached out, and we have a new friend.
So, Brent, your dad, Alan, hauling around these large cameras and tripods over hell's every back half acre of Arizona. I mean, here's an article in 1949 your dad did on the Peach Festival at Supai.
That's right, and thank you very much for having me on the show. It's a pleasure to be here. And actually, that was his first article that was published in Arizona Highways about the Peach Festival down at on the Havasupai Reservation in the canyon.
How do you get? Did he just randomly submit an article and say maybe it will, maybe it won't, or did he get recruited? Or I mean, how do you get in on that deal?
You know, I'm not sure exactly how he got connected with, at the time it was Raymond Carlson was the editor, but he'd been in the, working as an illustrator at Lockheed during World War II, and then after the war moved to Arizona because he wanted to pursue a career as a freelance photographer and writer, and I think he probably just submitted some of his work, and it got accepted.
Does anyone know if they still have that Peach Festival in Supai? We've got to get that on our calendar.
That's a great question. I don't know. Yeah.
That's easy enough to find out.
I love Supai. Walking down, and then just you're winding through the canyon, and you just come onto this village. I mean, you step back in time 100 years until the helicopter bringing in modern materials drops in the next load. But still, that point aside,
the candy bars and popsicles.
Oh, you're walking through people's backyards. There's goats. There's chickens. There's people on their looms. It's a phenomenal place.
And it looked like the articles that your dad wrote. So he would submit both the article and the pictures and all the ones that I saw.
Yes, he was. Somewhat unusual among the scenic photographers of the day that he did a lot of writing as well. And actually, one of his most distinctive techniques is that he did kind of what's called a storyboard technique or format of writing, where he would take pictures and then write captions, not just a sentence, but he would talk to the reader kind of in the first person, like he's bringing you along on this trip or this journey with him, with this series of photographs. With a story below each photograph, basically it just made you feel like you're along for the trip.
He was a very good writer. He describes it very well, and that's how it made me feel like I'd been there.
Yeah.
And he liked the story of people. It wasn't just the nature part. He liked people in the settings.
He did, and one of his very favorite places to work was Monument Valley. and he really got to know and love the Navajo people up there, and lots of interesting folks.
Now, as a son of one of Arizona Highway's pioneer photographers and journalists, I'm thinking you're getting hauled around all over Arizona, down dusty roads, in the back of a station wagon, bouncing in between all the camera equipment and probably bologna and cheese sandwiches.
Well, if I'd been born maybe about 10 or 15 years sooner, that might have been the case. But most of his work was done during the 1950s, and I was born in 59. So actually my older brothers and sister and my mom even kind of got in on that. They at times he'd pack everyone in the Jeep, the Woolies Jeep station wagon, four by four, and head for the hills, and they would get to share some of those adventures, but I kind of came along too late. I only got to share a couple.
What a Willie's Jeep station wagon in the 50s. That is your license to explore the great state of Arizona, for sure.
It can go anywhere.
We're here with Mr. Brent Reed, who has graciously driven down from his mountain retreat out on the rim, the son of a pioneer photographer for Arizona Highways, Mr. Alan Reed, and you were talking about photographing Monument Valley. I want to come back to that because I think your dad actually did several articles on the filming of several different movies that took place in Arizona.
He did, actually. He befriended Harry Goulding, and Harry Goulding was one of the very early traders to the Navajo that came to Monument Valley in 1923 and established a trading post. And then Harry Goulding actually is the one that got connected with John Ford, the director, and pitched the idea of filming these movies in Monument Valley because of the tremendous scenery.